Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the podcast. I've got a special episode for you today for multiple reasons. But first and foremost, I am sharing this episode because I want to share with you how I got my kids very skeptical about this new recipe that we made last night, how I got them to eat not just one, but at least two servings of it. At least two out of the three kids ate two servings of it. And I want to share exactly what I did to do that. Now, you're listening to this right now, and I'm recording this last night, right after we put the kids to bed, after we finished our dinner, all of the sorts of things. So we're doing a little bit of time traveling. So if you hear me say tonight or last night, just know I'm trying to make it easier for you, but sometimes I forget. So last night, as you're listening to this, we served Philly cheesesteaks. This is a brand new recipe for my kids. I don't think any of our children have had Philly cheesesteaks. And to kind of couple that with the fact that sandwiches and meat are two notoriously difficult foods to get young kids to eat, whether they're picky or not. They're just hard textures. It's hard to understand. Sandwiches are really hard. It's a lot of bread, a lot of chewing, like their favorite food, bread, but then there's things squished between it and they're confused. Like it just seems to be a really hard food to get a lot of kids to eat. You usually have to like deconstruct it or pull it apart or, you know, whatever you need to do. And a lot of kids just don't eat it for a long time. Their mouths aren't even big enough, right, to like fully take a bite. And then we have meat on the inside. So if you're not unfamiliar with the Philly cheesesteak, I'm from Colorado, so I am not the one to tell you how to make them. But step one, get a Blackstone. I think that's maybe step one. We got a Blackstone I got it for my husband for Father's Day. Best investment of my life. Okay. He has learned to make griddled tacos on there and cheeseburgers and fried rice and all these sorts of different recipes. And now Philly cheesesteaks. He got like a bug in his brain about making Philly cheesesteaks and has decided to just put it on the menu and make it. And I am not going to stop him. I didn't even help him with any prep work. But essentially, the way we made it, and of course, if you're from Philly, please excuse my arrogance. Not arrogance. What's the word that I'm looking for? Guys, I'm recording this late at night, okay? I'm tired after putting the kids to bed. My ignorance, is that the word I'm looking for? Whatever it might be. Please ignore the fact that I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to Philly cheesesteaks. I'm also gluten-free. So like my idea of a Philly cheesesteak is also now on a gluten-free bun. So continuing down this route, step one, get a Blackstone. Step two, we got shaved beef and peppers and onions and a delicious cheese that I also think is not typical. I think it usually comes with provolone. I have like an aversion to provolone ever since I was pregnant with baby number two. I can't remember. There's a certain time of my life where now I'm like not a huge fan of provolone. So we did a different cheese. I don't even know the type of cheese we'd used. Anyways, the point is you cook it up all together, saute the onions and peppers and throw in the shaved beef. It cooks really fast on the Blackstone, add the cheese, get it all cheesy and put it on a bun. Toasted bun, right? So delicious. Delicious for an adult who likes sandwiches and likes beef. Okay. Super excited about this recipe. My husband in particular was really excited, but we also knew that this was a brand new recipe to our kids. And anytime that we have a brand new meal, a brand new recipe, there's just some forethought that goes into it. Like, I don't know how this is going to go. I try to put on my glasses of like curiosity and like, I wonder how they're going to react to this. I'm excited to see them experience this flavor, maybe part of Philly's culture in this way, and experience this food that my husband and I enjoy. And I would say I've actually probably only had Philly cheesesteaks like two times in my life. One time actually in Philly, but I was a kid, so it doesn't really count. And it was probably like some tourist place for Philly cheesesteaks. And one other time at Jersey Mike's. Okay. And listen, I love Jersey Mike's. Love, love, love. However, I do not get the Philly cheesesteak anytime I go there. So it's good, but it's not the vibe. You know what I mean? So anyways, I am digressing hardcore. But my point is, you probably have felt this before. When you get excited about a new recipe, you see one on Instagram, you see one on Pinterest, you grab it from wherever, you get excited about a recipe. And then probably if you're a parent of a picky eater, the second thought that crosses your mind is something along the lines of, ugh, they're probably not going to eat this. Oh man, this looks so good. I want this, but it's going to be a fight to get them to eat it. oh man, I really want to cook this. I really want to buy these ingredients. I really want to put this together. I really want someone else to cook this for me, whatever that looks like. But man, it's going to be like either I feed them something different and then I eat this later, we're eating separate meals, which maybe you don't want to do. You know, you just have this second thought of like, ugh, how are they going to respond? What's this going to be like? Is this going to be a fight? Are we going to get in a power struggle? Are they going to enjoy it? Are they not going to enjoy it? Are they going to hate it before they even try it? Are they going to ruin my food experience with this exciting recipe because they're upset over it and unhappy that we're serving it, right? And I know how that goes. It can be so frustrating. In fact, I remember a time when I had a very picky eater on my hands where I just felt trapped. I was making like the same 5, maybe 7 meals over and over again, maybe slight variations, but overall like the same freaking food. I felt like in a box of, you know, chicken and noodles and butter, and it was just cheese, so much cheese. It was just so frustrating to not feel like I had that creative outlet, not feel like I got to explore or experience different dinners and foods. And I'm someone that likes to cook. Not everyone likes to cook, I understand that, but even getting takeout food or just experiencing new flavors was really difficult when I had a picky eater, because it either meant that we couldn't have dinner together, we were eating different foods, or we were going to get into some sort of power struggle fight, and it was just going to be miserable. I was going to watch him, you know, shut down, complain, whine, moan, groan, not be happy, yell yucky, stay hungry, like not eat. And then he's up late, hangry tantrums. Maybe he wakes up in the middle of the night, he's hungry in the morning. It's just like this spiral. Like, I get it. I get it. And so, you know, now I've developed a system, but essentially whenever we introduce new foods, I'm really thoughtful of how I do it, some of the strategies that I might use, some of the things I might say, some of the things I might do. And I wanted to share that with you because, like I said, introducing a new dish, a new menu item to your kids is, if you have a picky eater, especially at home, can be kind of like triggering in a way of like, this isn't going to go well. I have past experiences where this doesn't go well. Maybe they surprise you here and there, right? But sometimes if they surprise you, you don't know how to replicate it. And you're like, okay, why was that such a good meal? Was it the timing? Was it the plate I used? Was it this? Was it that? Was it, you know, like, what are the things here? And so I want to share with you what I did and something exciting to go along with that. So we're making the Philly cheesesteaks, right? And when they come off the Blackstone, my husband has learned that you always want to serve, especially something new, with a safe food. But really any meal or snack should have at least one safe food. Now remember, a safe food is not a favorite food. So all favorite foods are safe foods, but not all safe foods are favorite foods. So it's important to know that. But when we're plating the sandwiches, first of all, I cut one of them because they were on like hoagie rolls for the kids. I cut one of them in half, gave a half to my 2-year-old, a half to my 6-year-old. I got to update that. She turned 6. And then a whole one to my 9-year-old because he just will. Okay. This is my OG original picky eater. Each of my kids have gone through picky phases and we've tackled all three. If you've been following for a while, you know exactly how we did that to reverse it. But overall, now my 9-year-old eats pretty much everything. He has like certain things that he's developed preferences around and we're still working on him. But overall, he pretty much eats anything. He's hungry. He is growing. So give him a whole sandwich. We're putting it on the plate. And Josh is, my husband, is going through the fridge going, oh, I forgot to make some sort of side. That's a safe food. This is a new dish for them. What should I use? We had strawberries that were kind of, they're hanging on, you know, they're hanging on. So we pulled out the strawberries, washed them up and cut them up and put them on their plate as well. So we've got a very traditional Philly cheesesteak with the side of strawberries. I'm sure that's just how they serve it in Philly, but that works for our kids. Strawberries are a safe food. There's also peppers in the Philly cheesesteaks, and all three of my kids absolutely love peppers, cooked, raw, doesn't matter. They absolutely love peppers. So that's also a safe food, although it is mixed in. So once a safe food is mixed into a new food that is not safe, that food is no longer safe. It's what I call sometimes food. Table talkers know what I'm talking about. So we've got this on the plate. We call them to dinner. They're playing outside. They need to wash their hands. We wash their hands. And as we're washing their hands, of course, they're asking questions. What is that? I've never seen that before. You know, like, what's in there? Is that dinner? Is that mine? Like, they're asking all sorts of questions. So we sit down to have dinner, pray, do the whole thing, and we are starting to eat. My 9-year-old is immediately pretty much excited to try it. He had smelled it on the Blackstone. He had kind of helped his dad a little bit with it, was excited to try it. And my 6-year-old and 2-year-old were much more apprehensive. So here are the few strategies that I use. I already mentioned one, serving a safe food alongside this new food to get them kind of interested in the plate, right? They see something they recognize on their plate. They can at least start there at the very least because they are hungry. We also went past our normal eating time, which is not ideal. So it's now 6:30, 6:45. Usually we try to eat around 5:30, maybe 6 o'clock. So it's already a little bit late. So they're probably hungry. They've been playing outside. There's been no snacks for a very long time. So they're pretty hungry. So they start with the strawberries. And the first tip that we did or strategy that we did was to serve that safe food. So that's tip number one. Always have that on the docket for your kids. Now, tip number two is to, what I did was I associated this food that they're very uncertain about, very unsure about, with someone that they trust, know, love, all the things. Just so happens that my brother-in-law, which is my husband's sister's husband, he is from Philly. He's from outside of Philly, I believe, but he is from Philly. And so I mention that these are called Philly cheesesteaks. And do you know who's from Philly and who probably loves Philly cheesesteaks? Your uncle, XYZ name, right? And so I start associating this sandwich with someone that they adore. That is such a helpful thing. Now, sometimes that's mom, sometimes that's dad, sometimes that's a story. You know, sometimes we'll say something like, oh, this is your grandmother's recipe that she taught me when I was your age. Or maybe that's talking about, oh, one time when I went to, you know, a picnic, we had XYZ food out on this picnic. And I just remember this most beautiful sunset. It doesn't have to be a person. It doesn't have to be where they're from. It doesn't, I hope you're seeing here that this tactic isn't about you have to have an uncle from Philly in order for your kids to eat Philly cheesesteaks, right? It can be these peppers are from that farmer's market we went to together, or these buns are toasted on the Blackstone that we got dad for Father's Day, right? It can be any sort of connection to the food that they're looking at that they like know, trust, remember, have experience with. You're familiarizing that food with them, okay? So that was kind of strategy number two. Strategy number three was I served this food with a slice of cheese on the side. And that was kind of added slightly after the fact because we kind of noticed we didn't add enough cheese to the Philly cheesesteaks. They were quite like not dry, but definitely not as cheesy as I've had them before. And so we kind of noticed that they do need a little bit more cheese. And so in recognizing that, I decided to go, oh, does anyone want any cheese to add to their sandwich or to have on the side? And of course, all my kids were excited about it. So we cut up some more cheese and put it on the side of their sandwiches. So then they could choose to put it on their sandwich or eat it on the side, and kind of added a little extra flair. We talked about how that cheese was already in there. It was melted. If you, you know, put it right here, right now, while it's warm, it'll melt a little more, whatever. I put cheese on my sandwich. I showed them how to do it. And that was really exciting for our kids. Cheese is also a wonderful, safe food for most kids. And so that was a really great way to get them engaged, involved, and learning more about the food in front of them. And then tip number four was I taught them how to squish their sandwich. So like I said before, sandwiches are notoriously difficult to get kids to eat. And usually it's because their mouth is too small. They literally are not confident looking at the sandwich. They're like, what the heck is this hoagie roll that's super thick, super bready, crusty? Like, this is confusing to me, right? Like, this isn't my normal toast. And it can look a little intimidating for being so thick. And so I actually taught them how to squish down their sandwich so that they could take a bite. So I used my hand and showed them on my sandwich. I showed them on their sandwich and asked them to kind of repeat after me. Like, here, try and squish your sandwich like this. Flatten it really, 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 really flat. Flat like a truck rolled over it. Like, if you've got a kid that loves construction trucks or something like that, or a dinosaur stepped on it, right? Like, try to compare it to something that in their life they like. So, you know, put your hand on it, make it flat like a pancake is a great way to do it. So then they make it flat. And then my kids got really excited about making it flat. Now, my 9-year-old did not because he liked his nice and puffy. But he still wanted to like flatten sandwiches and get excited about this. So they're all flattening sandwiches, each other's sandwiches, their own sandwiches, my sandwich, and they're flattening the sandwich with their hand and pushing it as far down as they can go. Well, lo and behold, they're touching it. They're getting excited about it. They're learning more about the food. We've got the cheese. We've got the strawberries. We've got the Sam story or the uncle story. And now we are eating the sandwich. They've picked it up and started to eat it. Now, pros and cons of having multiple kids is typically when one kid starts to say something about the food, the other kids will start to either, depending on their sibling relationships, either agree with them or like polar opposite disagree. So we do, and we have kind of set up boundaries with our kids individually. Don't yuck someone else's yum. Hey, you know, you can have strong opinions about the food. I want you to share them after everyone's done eating. And that's kind of helped a lot in our home. But luckily our oldest son had already taken bites and was talking about how great it was. So of course his two younger siblings are looking up to him wanting to feel the same way. It doesn't always work out that way, but that was the night that we had tonight. Let me tell you, sometimes it is the polar opposite. If he likes it, then I don't. And if I like it, then he doesn't, whatever. But tonight it did work out. So he was yumming all over it and just excited about it. So the other kids really take to what he has said as well and start taking bites. So eventually my youngest ate his entire half, which is quite a bit for a two-year-old, a half of a hoagie filled with peppers, onions, cheese, all the things, and all his strawberries. He did ask for more strawberries. So he had that as a serving. My daughter ate an entire half and then a few bites, probably half of a half. So another fourth of a second half. So she's having 3/4 of an entire sandwich, a lot, plenty for a six-year-old. These were piled high with meat and peppers and onions. They were excited about that. I didn't mention this either, but I did point out the red peppers that had kind of fallen out of my plate. I offered up my plate that had a lot of red peppers spilled over to them if anyone wanted to pick those off my plate and eat them. They were excited about that. So she ate that. She ate two servings of strawberries as well. And then my oldest son ate two whole sandwiches. And I think just one serving of strawberries. We also served cups of milk with this as well, whole milk. So they had that as well available. That's not a favorite food for my kids. We do serve it, but not very often. So that is what we had for dinner. That is how I got them to eat that much. And the reason why I want to share this with you today is if you feel like, I had actually shared this on my Instagram yesterday, asking just like, hey, would your kids eat this? Like I showed a picture of the Philly cheesesteaks and asked a question, would your kids eat this? Yes. No way, maybe. And I had over 50% of people said no way. Then we had an additional like almost 30% of people saying maybe. And then we had a very low percentage, like 21% or whatever was left over saying yes. So we're talking about 70, 75% of the parents who are watching my stories, their kids would not eat this right off the bat. Then we share these tips, these strategies and all these things. And I just want you to ask yourself, A, would your kids eat that food? Like from the get-go, you just put it down in front of them. Would they pick up and eat the Philly cheesesteak? If the answer is no or maybe, my next question would be, based on all the things that I just gave you, the tips, the strategies that I just handed over to you, if you were to employ those, if you were to use those, which took me zero extra time, really zero extra effort, because it's just all pretty much conversation, teaching, and engaging with my kids, which I would be doing anyways. Literally nothing extra on my shoulders or on like weighted or on put on my plate. If I gave you those strategies, would your child be more or less likely to eat the Philly cheesesteaks? Now, majority of families would say, well, they'd be more likely to eat it. It's not guaranteed. Yes, I'm not talking about like being a home run, although that's what we had this night. And my two youngest were skeptical of this food. However, my question is just, would they be more likely to actually eat the food that you were excited to prepare, you were excited to bring to your family, you were excited to cook or have your husband cook out on the Blackstone, whatever that looks like, would they be more or less likely to eat this food versus just making the same old, this is the box that I live in, we make mac and cheese, we eat Philly cheesesteaks, but they eat something different, chicken nuggets, whatever, on a night where you want to eat something different. Would they be more likely to engage and actually eat this food with you using those strategies? If your answer is they would be more, or you think they would be more, or at the very least, maybe they would be more likely to eat this food, then I'm telling you, you would love picky plates. And the reason why I bring this up is I don't talk about picky plates very often. In fact, we only have 2 times a year that we invite people to picky plates to try it out for just $1. And that is going on right now. In fact, it ends tonight. And it's really important because picky plates, if you haven't heard of it yet before, I created picky plates out of kind of my own mental exhaustion and fatigue of deciding what was for dinner every night. So of course I'm on my own journey to reverse picky eating. I have this picky eater, but I'm really starting to get like kind of frustrated with the meal plans out there, the recipe ideas out there. I just felt like they were too complicated. I don't like spending more than 30 minutes in the kitchen. I don't want more than 17 million ingredients to make that I only buy once and then never use again. Like I wanted something simple, easy for families where I can make one meal for the whole family and just have like dinner decided. That's how I explain this. It's like dinner is just decided. Picky Plates tells you exactly what to make Monday through Friday, including the recipes, of course. They're simple, easy, healthy, obviously dietitian approved. But then the thing that makes Picky Plates more than just like a meal plan that I feel like everyone and their uncle has heard of or done or bought or downloaded or found on Pinterest or whatever, this one's different because it is intentionally built for families. Like I said, I'm a mom of three. I totally get it. It is intentionally built for families, specifically with a picky eater. And the way that we do that is we take every single recipe, has a paired tip or strategy that is specific to that recipe, to that idea, that helps you get your kids to be more likely to eat the dinner that you make at the table, just like the tips and strategies that I talked about in today's episode. So if you thought those were helpful, if you thought those would move the needle, if you thought those would actually help your kid, that is exactly what you're going to get side by side with every recipe that I share with you inside Picky Plates. So we've got meal plans. You no longer have to wonder what's for dinner. You don't have to think about it. It's just on your calendar. We give you a grocery list, everything you need to succeed following that meal plan. But then the real beauty, the real magic, the real thing that makes this stick out amongst the rest is that it is paired with a picky eating strategy. And I cannot stress that enough, the importance of it, the magic of it, because that is what makes this totally different. This isn't just throwing up some new recipe in front of your kid and just going, I hope they eat it. Like, let's set up a hope and a prayer and, you know, send some good energy their way to actually take bites. This is handing you a strategy, a tip, a hack, an idea, a way to engage your kid in the food to get them to actually eat it. And I think it's pretty dang magical. I've seen it work for literally thousands of parents. We have parents who have been in there for years at this point and just absolutely love it, getting their kids to eat more broccoli, getting their kids to eat more mixed dishes, more recipes, being able to eat one dinner as a family all together is truly such a magical experience. So I hope that you take me up on my offer to try it out for just $1. You get 2 full weeks for just $1. Plus you get instant access to over $100 of different bonuses, including my packed lunch playbook, which is an incredible value of itself. And I know inside of this fall season, that is something we're all looking for, is more packed lunch ideas. All these things you get for just $1 for 14 days. And if you love it, that's awesome. You literally don't have to do anything. You can just stay. It's less than 45 cents per meal moving forward if you want to stay inside of Picky Plates. And if you don't, totally fine. That is 100% so easy for you to cancel. You can cancel before you pay anything more than just $1, and you can cancel your account yourself in your settings. No hoops to jump through. No one to email, no one to call, no one to track down with a smoke signal. You literally can cancel yourself. I want it to be super easy to see if it's a good fit for you and your family. So I'm going to leave the link down below to grab the 14-day trial for $1. I'm going to leave that link for you. And if you have any questions, of course, you can email me support@nutritionforlittles.com. I have more information about it on my Instagram, but I think this episode was really to teach you and to show you how powerful these tips and strategies are. I think I might even put the Philly cheesesteak recipe inside the Picky Plates meal plan. So we will see if that pops up, but they are always kid-friendly, family-friendly recipes that you can enjoy as a family. And I'm just so, so passionate about it, making your life easier, helping you actually get your kids to eat the food that you make. And of course, something that I constantly am using myself while also testing out new recipes. So I'm bouncing between those things all the time, but I legitimately created it to make my life easier. And I want to share it with you. So check the link down below. And I hope this episode was helpful, if nonetheless, and I hope to see you inside Picky Plates. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right. Until next time, mamas.